them up to where? 1 Peter chapter 2, right? 1 Peter chapter 2. We're in a series in 1 Peter. And we're just moving like the speed of sound through this. So you got to hang on or you'll get lost. If you have not been here for all of them, please go online and catch up and get the sermons thus far. These will make a lot more sense to you as we've traveled through this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. If you have the word with you, say, I've got it. Amen. I like it when you carry the word into the house of the Lord. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father God, we as your church are assembled here at this time by design, Father, that we would hear from you. So, Father, we just place ourselves humbly before you, and, Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sin. Father, the things that we may have carried in from the outside that is not glorifying to you. Father, help strengthen us. Forgive us. Father, help us to walk in a manner that would bring glory and honor unto you. So, Father, as we present ourselves to you as our church, as your church, Father, that you would find us pleasing, Father, and that the worship that you've received thus far has been acceptable, that you have been glorified and gratified in this worship. And Father, that comes out of our hearts, not just out of repetition, but out of truth. So Father, as we come here, Father, as your servant, I come specifically to ask you to forgive me of my sin, for you know they are many, literally. And so Father, I come before you and ask you to forgive me, and that you would give me the opportunity to be your servant. Father, if you would have blessed me to be your speaker today, I would greatly appreciate that. But if I am not the one to speak your word today, that you would silence my lips and that you would rise up the one to speak for you at this day and this appointed hour. Would you be glorified in all that is said here? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning, I'd like to jump right back in, right where we left off last week, where Peter tells us what it takes as believers to have our hope destroyed. What do we got to do to have our hope destroyed, to have our hope wrecked? Remember last week was wrecked, was a wrecked hope. This week is a hope restorer. Hope restorer. But he told us how we could destroy our hope. And what Peter tells us is this. He said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, he says, therefore. Now remember, therefore is because of everything that Peter has already said in chapter 1. Therefore, because you have been chosen by the foreknowledge of God, and you have been sanctified by His Spirit, because you have been obedient, that's verse 1 of chapter 1, because you have been saved, because you have been redeemed, because of your salvation is secure, and you now endure forever, because of all that, that's chapter 1, therefore, because you are saved and your salvation is secure, now then, he says this, he says, lay aside. And remember the illustration from last week. Lay aside, it means to take off. Remember cutting the dirty grass all sweaty. You come in, you want to just take a shower. You want to get the clothes off. You want to take them old sweaty clothes off. It means to take off dirty sweaty clothes. Take off, lay them aside. All malice. What do we lay aside? All malice. Now don't forget what this word means. Malice means what? Evil means anything evil. Lay off all evil. Take off all evilness. This is one of those internal sins. He says, lay it aside. Lay aside all deceit. Not some of it, not part of it, not a little bit of it. He says, lay it all of it of Christ. He says, lay it all down. Lay aside any deception in your life. Take it off. Don't try to trick people into thinking that you are something that you are not. That's another internal sin. He says, and lay aside hypocrisy. Take the mask off. Don't be a hypocrite. Now, hypocrisy is an external expression. Remember, hypocrisy is an external expression of the internal sin that is within you. He says, then lay aside envy. Take off the envy. Take it off. Remember lunch envy, the Kroger thing? It says lunch envy. I have something better than you do, and now I don't want you to have it, and I want you to want what I have. Internal sin, envy, he says, take it off. He says, remove it. And the other one is this, evil speaking. All evil speaking. That's slander, speaking against someone else in the manner to tear them down and not to build them up. And last week, we learned how these things, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, we learn how they can wreck your hope. How they can take all the joy, all the hope out of your salvation and out of your walk with Christ. Now, how if you possess these internal sins, you are this generally, if you possess these internal sins, you are generally a miserable person. And your life will be displayed in misery like a person with no hope. Now this morning I want to continue on in these verses as Peter reminds us what it looks like to be a people of hope and what does it take to restore that hope if you have lost hope. And there are people who have lost hope. What do I need to do to restore that? Now I don't want you to forget the people that Peter's talking to. Remember who Peter's talking to. They are Christians. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. They are the church who are being treated with maliciousness. They are being mistreated. They are being slandered. They are being lied about. And if they survive the physical attacks that came against them, the mutilations, the beatings, the starvation, if they survive all of that, they still were just hated. They're just hated. People didn't like the looks of them just because they called themselves a Christian. People hated them. They were lied about. They were called names. Rocks were thrown at them. They were spit up on as they walked down the street. Anybody here ever had a day like that? And Peter said, even though all of this is happening to you, even though you are being unjustly accused, even though you are losing your homes and all of your property, even though you are being physically and verbally assaulted, he says this, you lay aside malice. Do not return evil with evil. Now, sometimes that's just hard to do, isn't it, brother, sisters? That's just hard to do. But Peter says, look, lay it aside. He says, lay aside deceit, lay aside envy. Yes, people have it better than you, but you lay that aside. Lay aside hypocrisy and slander. Don't speak evil because you are being spoken evil about. You think I ever get spoken evil about? I'm everybody's number one in here. Listen, people say things about me that just aren't true. They make assumptions about me that just aren't true. But I can't come, in my heart is not for me just to come back and jump back at you. My thing is what? To tell you the truth. But don't speak evil because you're being spoken evil about. He says this, take it off. Instead, look at verse 2. Peter said this. He said, instead of allowing your hope to be wrecked, I want to tell you how you can build hope. I want to tell you how to restore your hope. He said, lay this garbage aside. Instead, look at verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Listen to what he's saying there. He says this. He says hunger for the word. Now the word desire there in the Greek, it means this. It means to overcrave. I have an issue with that with like drover's wings, right? It means to overcrave, right? Man, I've got a longing, I've got a hankering, I've got a craving, and I got an intense craving. I got this intense drive or this intense wanting inside of me. That's what he's talking about. He says, you've got to have that kind of longing in your life. Now, let me give you an Old Testament illustration of this, and I'll give you a New Testament illustration as well. But put your finger there in 1 Peter chapter 2. Go with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, verse 1. And I want you to listen to this. Psalm 42, verse 1. I want you to listen to this. You know this passage by heart. You do. But listen to it and think about it in this way. I want you to think about it. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. Now, I don't know if you've ever been deer hunting before. Boots, you ever been deer hunting before? No. Never? Okay. I don't know. One or two of you might here might have been deer hunting before. I know that some of you have. I'm just joking with you. But basically, you hunt deer, right? You go out in the woods, you hunt deer, you chase deer, and the deer run, and they run, and they run, and they run, and they run, kind of like a horse or like a dog, and they begin to pant, and they go to the place where they look for water, right? And they drink that water. They just drink that. They suck that water down. They lap it up. They want to get all they can in a short amount of time they can. That's what the psalmist is saying here. Lord, I am like a man who is dying of thirst, and I'm in need of water. I am longing, I am craving, I need to be in your house, I need to be in your word, and I need to be in the place that you are. That's what the psalmist is talking about. What Peter is talking about is somebody who craves, who thirsts, who is longing. He says, crave, desire. That's what he's talking about. And when you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the New Testament, and Paul talks about heaven in this way. He says, longing for heaven, craving for heaven. The whole chapter speaks of it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, and he says, we groan. Anybody here ever groan? And some of you do when you get up. I mean, do you ever get intense about something? And you just, it's an internal. It says, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from above. Earnestly desiring, craving to be changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what the word is. That's the word desire. Now, folks, you know what a craving is. You know what a hunger is. I mean, most of us don't know what starvation is, but most of us know what it's like to be really hungry. You know what a longing is. Now, do you remember back, guys? Let me talk to you guys. You remember back when you first dated that girl, the one that you married? Just, I want to help you out there so your mind don't go where it shouldn't go. All right, just helping you out a little bit. You remember when that first dated that girl that you married? Back when you fell in love with her, and what did that do to you? It just consumed your thoughts, right? All day long, that's all you could think about. I just want to be with Donna. I just want to be with her. I just want to see her, right? I just want to be around her. If I could just figure a way to get over to her house. If you have to hitchhike maybe, you know what I mean? If I could just get over her house. If I could just get to where she is. Remember, guys? Remember when you were in school and you sat there and you looked out the window and you wrote her notes? In my day, they were notes. Today, it's a text, okay? But we wrote notes, and in our day, you wrote her name on everything, your book cover on your books and everything. Today, we just send emojis or whatever those things are, right? But all you could think of, we're going to go out on Friday night. I asked her out, and she said, yes. So I'm going to go out on Friday night. We're going to go out. And you know what? We're going to go out Saturday night too. And I just want to see her. I just can't wait. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I went and bought all that Axe stuff. And, you know. But I also want to do something else. I want to hold her hand. I just want to hold her hand. I don't know if this is cool anymore or not, but I'll take her some flowers. Maybe a box of candy, a box of chocolates, okay? Maybe you buy her a little piece of jewelry of some kind. Push the pause button. Let me tell you something, guys. Thinking about buying her jewelry. Listen, it's cute. Yeah, it's cute. It starts small with a charm necklace or bracelet. But let me tell you something, guys. As it goes, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But you want to buy her something nice to kind of impress her. But you do that because you just want to be around her. You want to impress her. You can't wait to get to the phone to call her. Remember that? You can't wait till we get to a phone. In my day, we had to wait to get to a phone, okay? It didn't. You didn't have those in school. You had to wait to go to the payphone. All right? I would just sit and stare at her and think, I just want to hold her hand. I want to smell her hair. I just want to watch her lips move as she talks. And dude, if I'm really lucky, I'm going to get to kiss them. Let's just stop right there, all right, gang? This is getting... Might be more than I can handle. Just slow down, all right? Maybe I just get a good night kiss, man. I'm daydreaming about it. Now, folks, that was a craving. That was a longing. And the question is, do you long for the Word of God like that? Ooh. Do you long for the Word of God like that in your life? Do you hunger and crave for the Word of God like that? And you say, Pastor, no. As a matter of fact, Pastor, I don't. In fact, it will... I don't have that, but I do want it, but I don't have it. Well, great, that's a great thing. The fact that you desire, that you do want it, even though you don't have it, but you're saying, yeah. Well, let me show you three quick things that can stop the restoration of your hope. The restoration of the joy of your salvation. Let me show you the three quick things, and they're very quick, that will wreck your hunger for the Word of God. Here's the number one thing. It is unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Understand, what has he just talked about in verse 1, chapter 1? What's he just talked about? Put it off, right? He said, if there is malice in your heart, if there is deceit in your life, if there is envy, slander, hypocrisy in your life, listen to me, if any of that said, there's sin, any evilness, any sin in your life, I can tell you up front, you will have no hunger for the Word of God. If it's an ongoing practicing thing, I'm not talking about, hey, does my hair look nice? Yeah, it looks nice. No. You understand what I'm talking about here. And so unconfessed sin in your life will diminish your hunger for the Word of God. It will push it down. It will hinder it. In fact, it will kill your appetite for the Word of God. Kind of like when you find a hair in your dinner. Yeah, ooh. That's what kind of God looks like, right? When he looks at us and what, when you find a hair in your dinner, it makes the meal undesirable, doesn't it? Unconfessed sin will do that as well. It makes the Word of God undesirable to you. That's why you don't want to go to Sunday school. That's why you sure don't want to be in a small group. You don't want to come and sit in here. In fact, you might have to press yourself to come and sit in here. Why do you have to pray? Well, you're going to find all kinds of excuses. Usually it'll be the preacher's fault or somebody else's fault of why you don't want to go in here. But usually it sounds like this. Well, you preach too hard. You preach too loud. You preach too strong. You get too personal, Pastor. Well, listen, I'm going to do it until I'm dead. Hey, right? That's the way it is. That's the way I'm going to do it. Listen, yes, I'm accountable to you. I surely am accountable to you. But I am absolutely, positively no good to you if all I'm here to do is to make you laugh. Make you laugh and grin the whole service and tell you, you know what, don't worry. God loves us. Everything's just going to be okay, and send you out of here. Listen to me. I'm not doing you any favors. I'm not doing you any good. I am no good to you that way. Listen, I don't want you to think this is your best life now. I want you to understand that your best life is yet to come. Listen, look, and how I live and desire God now has an impact on that. Amen? It has a direct impact on my life then. Listen, I don't want to stay here forever. I don't want to be on this earth forever. I don't want to live to be 100. I don't. I want to go, this is not my home. Listen, I got something better, right? Here's the second thing is this. The reason you may not desire God's word is this. Point number two. You've got an ulterior motive when you go to the Word of God. You've got an ulterior motive when you go to the Word of God. Not only do you have unconfessed sin, but you've got an ulterior motive. And you say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, listen, I can't tell you the number of times. I literally can't tell you the number of times that people will text me or call me and ask me, can you give me some Bible verses for this or that? For this situation, that said, what does God say about this and what to say that? And because so-and-so is arguing with me about the Bible, and I need some verses to prove him wrong. So in other words, you want to use the Word of God to beat so-and-so up with. You're looking for a ball bat out of Scripture. I want to win an argument. So I go to the Word of God, and I search the Word of God, and I hunt through the Word of God to find something that I can use against somebody to beat them with, that I can prove that they're wrong. What's wrong with that? Is there what? Motivation. Malice. Let me tell you, you know who did that? They're called the Pharisees. They did the Old Testament that same way. And so you will never hunger for, listen, you will never hunger for the Word of God when all you want to do is find proof in the Word of God so that you can go win an argument and shut somebody up. I'm right, you're wrong, nah, 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 nah. Told you I was right. Pastor said, look, pastor gave me these verses. Pastor said, I told you I was right. No, wrong motivation. We should always go to God's Word in search of the truth to build one another up, not to tear one another down. You know, I've told you this 100 times. When you start a disagreement with me about something I preach and you start out the conversation, I think, end of story. I don't care what you think. You want to know why? Because you don't care what I think. You want to know what? What the truth of God's Word says. Amen? Because why? Because that's going to restore. That's going to build me up. So listen, I need to be in search of God's Word, not to beat somebody up, but to build somebody up and not tear them down. Why? Because the truth will what? It will set you free, right? Listen, the truth will make you right before God. Don't worry about being right before me. Worry about being right before God. Approach God's Word with the right motivation and you will desire it more. You will desire it more. Now here's the third thing is this. Third thing is this. An unhealthy diet spiritually will destroy my desire for God's Word. An unhealthy diet spiritually will display my desire for God's Word. Listen to me. So many Christians, you worry me. I know, it's a sin, right? But you do. You worry me, and I worry about you as much as I worry about my own kids and my own family. I honestly, truly do. You know, I pray at times, God, give me a release from worrying about these people in the church. Because I hear or see you, see what you are reading or what you're watching. And you are reading the most goofy, unhealthy stuff, and you watch the goofiest people on TV, and you listen to the goofiest stuff on the radio. And I'm telling you something. It worries me. It disturbs me. It concerns me because I'm concerned about you. I'm worried about you. Do you realize I'm your under-shepherd? I'm not the shepherd of this flock. Jesus Christ and He alone is the shepherd of this flock. Amen? But I am the under-shepherd of this congregation, and I worry about what you watch. I have been set by here by God to watch over you and what you read and what you listen to, because some of you stay in a constant state of confusion because you read spiritual junk food. Now you're feeling good? You're feeding on spiritual Twinkies and ding-dongs. Ho-hos. Sometimes we eat what's not good for us, right? Listen, watch. This is serious stuff. You read some spiritual junk food, and that stuff sometimes gratifies. Listen, it gratifies to the point that you don't want to read the Word of God anymore. Don't use this against me. Don't use this to hold me accountable. Don't use this. I don't want that. Did you hear what Dr. Phil said? Did you hear what this preacher said? Did you hear? It comes to the point that you don't want to read the Word of God. You're not interested anymore. You want 36 ways to become a better you by Friday. Listen, I have one sure way to become better than you are right now by Friday. He's called Jesus Christ, all right? Or 52 ways to have your best life right now. I want to tell you something. If those people have trusted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, listen, I'm not picking on anybody, but if those people have trusted Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and I most certainly hope that they did or that they have, we will be in heaven with them one day. Amen? Amen. But listen, these people that, those people that junk that you're listening to, they're not fountains that we should drink from as the deer panteth for the water. Those aren't fountains that we should drink from. And when it comes to chasing rabbits, like how old will I be when I get to heaven? 33. I'm going to be 33. Anybody want to dispute that? You see what I'm saying? I don't care how old I'm going to be when I get to heaven, because no matter how old I'm going to be what? Perfect. I'm close, but not there, but you understand. Look to me. I don't care how old. There are books written on this kind of stuff. You understand? Listen, we chase rabbits a lot of times in our studies. Understand, not every rabbit hole that you come to do you need to stick your head into. Do I have a personal guardian angel? I don't know. I have Jesus Christ. Right? Do you hear me as a pastor? You hear what I'm telling you? Get your head out of some of that stuff. If you need something decent to read, come and see me. Or there's some, your Sunday school teachers will have great advice for you on what to read. And I'll give you, listen, we'll give you something decent to read, but don't fill your spiritual bellies with that which bloats you but never nourishes you. That's what will kill an appetite for the Word of God in your life. Now, I want you to listen to me now, because I'm going to wind this up, all right? I want to give you two things that you need to hear. How can I develop this hope and this hunger in my life? How can I personally do that? How can I develop the craving for the Word of God in my life? Well, listen to this, because there was an absolutely fascinating piece of research that came out some years ago from two doctors at the National Institute of Mental Health. I would tell you their names. I have them, but I can't pronounce them, okay? So the National Institute of Mental Health, one is Carney and one is Dr. Carney, and the other one is Dr. Unger Leader, okay? Listen, but this is what they did was this. They took a subject group of people and had them do a simple motor skill. They had them strum their fingers. Now, I'm going to try to get this right. My wife will probably shake her head no if I don't have it right. But I want to strum their fingers like this. They wanted them to go. Get it? Just wanted them to strum their fingers in a certain order. And then they put them in an MRI machine. And they scanned their brain while they were strumming their fingers. Now, every time I've ever had a test like that, they tell you what? Don't move. Don't breathe. Right. But they had them strum their fingers in there in the MRI because they wanted to see what part of the brain lit up and what part of the brain lit up and was active when you did that right there. So they did that and discovered what part of the brain did that. And they told the subject group, this is what we want you to do. Every day at this exact time, for the next 4 weeks, you do this. You just strum your fingers just like this, and we want you to do it for 10 to 20 minutes a day using your non-dominant hand. This is my non-dominant hand, right? Using your non-dominant hand for 10 to 20 minutes every day. That's it. That's what we want you to do. And at the end of the 4 weeks, they brought these same people back in for another MRI. They put them through a second MRI, and the amazing thing is this. They discovered this. They discovered they had created new nerve cells and rewired neuronal connections. In other words, this. That part of their brain where they strummed their fingers lit up and got deeper and broader. It grew. And I heard a news story on K-Love the other day. Switching a little bit of gear here. And a news story on K-Love the other day said that this study was done on the brain. where an MRI was taken of two types of people. People who were negative by nature, complainers, people who are never satisfied and who will always find something wrong, always find some sort of fault in something, whatever it is. Now, you undoubtedly know someone like this, I'm sure, right? Amen? Well, the MRI of these negative Nelly type Pierce personalities were put up against a person who is generally a positive in nature personality, an optimist. And what they found were physical changes in the brain of these negative type people. It showed that negative stimuli produced more neural activity in a certain part of the brain. The study said this. The study said repetition is the mother of all learning. That when we repeatedly focus on the negative by complaining, we're firing and refiring the neurons responsible for that negativity bias. Here, that your brain actually physically changes and you become more negative because of the physical changes that take place in your brain. Now, I thought that was very interesting. Now, I want you to listen to the implication of this study. Let's just take this study, those two scenarios, and let's just take this and apply what they're telling us. If you will take the Word of God every day, like I encourage you to do, to have a daily devotional time in your life, to spend time reading God's Word every day, your brain will begin the process to recircuit new nerve cells and rewiring neuronal connections. And in a sense, you are downloading a new operating system that reconfigures your mind to be that of the mind of Christ. I want to tell you something. We should be excited about that. And when you do that, that will restore your hope. That will restore the security in your life no matter what is going on. Whatever it is. So you want to restore hope? You want to restore peace? You want a restored, a new strength? This is so profound. This is like we've never heard this before. You want those things? Take the Word of God and read it. You know how many thousands of dollars were spent on those studies? Millions. Take the Word of God and read it. Just get the Word. And every day you just get in the Word and you read it. But let me tell you something. When you do that, let me tell you something. Satan will fight you tooth and nail. He does not want you there. Because it's the one thing that he cannot stand against. That's what Peter is saying right there. Verses 1, 2, 3. That's what Peter is saying. He says, you crave for it. You crave for it like what? Like a newborn baby. The baby comes out of the birth canal screaming and crying. That's what he's crying for, right? The baby comes out of that birth canal. The first thing he wants is what? A new truck? He's crying for a new TV? A new iPhone? What's it crying for? It's crying for what? Remember, it doesn't have an education. It knows nothing about dairy products. It has logged no time and experience on this earth whatsoever. It just was born, right?
But it comes out, and that baby is laid in its mother's arms, and that baby instinctively smells the milk of its mother, and listen, for 9 months has heard the rhythm of a unique heartbeat, a very special heartbeat. And it will lay its head on that mother's breast, and all the nutrients and all the vitamins and all the minerals of that mother will go into that baby and will nourish that baby that causes that baby to... You could put a Krispy Kreme donut down in front of that baby. You could put some Atomic Hot Wings down in front of that baby. And that baby will not take it. It wants one thing. What does it want? It craves the pure milk of its mother that gives it life. Listen, as Christians, the Word of God gives us life. That God supplies us with all of our needs in life. Amen? So let me ask you this question. Do you want one thing in your life? Is it the Word of God? Do you hunger for it? Because by it, Peter says this. You will grow. Look what it says in the scripture. You will grow. You will mature. You will survive whatever life throws at you. Some of you have been thrown a lot. In fact, if I were you, I don't know if I could handle what life has thrown at me. If it like it has thrown at you. You've been thrown a lot. But His Word teaches us, look, His Word teaches us how to live pure and clean lives and how to conquer the temptations of life, amen? And how to walk through trials of life, how to walk through the trials of this life. His Word has it in here. It's contained in there. Understand, I don't know what's happened to you in some, like I said, it might be really, really bad. I don't know, but let me tell you, there's somewhere in Scripture somebody has walked through that thing. You know what? His Word teaches us of the glorious hope we have of living in the Lord forever and ever and ever. Wrap your head around this. You will never die. You will live. Your spirit will live forever and ever. You know what else? His Word teaches us how to worship, praise, and honor Him as we walk through this life. He grows us into what? His image, that we would become more like Him. It grows the hope in your life when you need it most, like right now. Like when you are being persecuted, or when you are being attacked, or when you are going through any tragedy or hard time. Seek the Word of God, which will help you grow in your faith, in your hope, and in your security, and in your salvation. Seek the Word of God. Fill your heart, mind, and soul with the truth of God's Word, and it will set you free. And it will sustain you while you're here. Psalm 119, verse 11 says what? I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not wreck my hope with malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and evil speaking. But as the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. My soul longeth for the pure milk of God's Word. Why? Because it restores my hope. It restores my soul. No matter the hurt, no matter the pain, it will get you through. So no matter what your trial burden is today, in the midst of whatever it is, listen, draw near to God. And He will draw near to you. He is an ever-present help in my time of what? His word will strengthen you and bring hope into your situation. Aren't you glad that we have a Heavenly Father? Wednesday night Bible study group, I'm calling you out. Aren't you glad that we have a Heavenly Father who has not separated us from by distance or time? But who is there every time, all the time? Christian, do you need help? Do you need help? I got great news for you today. Jesus is here. His Holy Spirit is here all the time. He is near right now. But here's the question. And we were sitting in John's Bible study class. I wrote this down and handed it over to Travis, who did the children's moment. So I handed a note to Travis that says, it's not that God isn't always near. The question really is how near are we to God? How close are you drawing to Him? The question comes to this. Are you seeking Him? You're feeling alone and abandoned and rejected. But are you trying to draw nigh to Him? Now know this truth. Know this truth. You can't draw close to someone in whom you don't know. You can't draw close to someone in whom you don't have a relationship with. So that comes to this question. Do you need to be in relationship with Jesus Christ today? Do you need salvation? Jesus is here. And I got great news for you. He's already paid the penalty for your sin. Let me ask you this. Do you need a relationship with someone who will never leave you nor forsake you? You need a relationship with someone like that? Then you need a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So this morning, what you need to do is receive His free gift of eternal life. Just call out to His name and believe. Call out in His name by faith and say, Lord Jesus, I come to You. And Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner. I confess to You that I know that I can't save myself. And I know I'm in need of Your salvation for the forgiveness of my sin. I'm in need of Your forgiveness. I'm in need of Your mercy. I'm in need to be in relationship with You. I thank You, Lord. I need Your love, and I need You for being the God who died on a cross for me for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank You for being the God who was raised from the dead to give me eternal life. I receive You as my Lord and Savior, and I give my life to follow You in Your way. I surrender. Now, others of you this morning, you believe that God is calling you to be a part of this church. Well, I can say this. I can't offer you a whole lot, but I can offer you this for sure. The Word of God is taught here. It is preached here. It is believed here, and we will cling to it here. If you're looking for a perfect church, keep moving on. It isn't perfect because I'm in it. And if God is speaking to you and drawing you to this place, you've been visiting here for months and you need now to settle it. I'm going to nail this down. I'm going to make a commitment to Jesus Christ. I'm going to commit to Him and live my life out here in this local congregation to serve the Lord God Almighty, to love His people and to serve them. Now, I don't know what God is saying to you. Maybe God is calling you to ministry this morning. I don't know. We know there's places in the bulletin that we are still in need of service, right? Maybe God's speaking to you about that right now. Maybe you say, you know what? I've not been walking in faith. I need to come and confess some things to Jesus Christ this morning. Listen, I need to confess some things to Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe you do too. There's been some malice and some deceit in your life that you have never dealt with. Maybe there's been some envy or slander or some hypocrisy there towards someone else. Let me tell you, all that pulls you down. All that will pull you down. It pulls me down. So listen, what I need to do is to commit to begin to pray the Word of God. You want to do something powerful? You open up the Word of God, get into Proverbs or the Psalm, and just start praying those scriptures. Your heart will change. So as the praise band comes, what is God speaking to you about? What is God speaking to you about this morning? What has God laid on your heart? What do you need to deal with? Maybe you have a relationship. You need a relationship. Maybe you're fighting, battling something. Maybe somebody in your family is battling something. I don't know, but you need somebody to pray with you. You need to come pray. You come. You come. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, in these moments, may our response be God-honoring. May we heed your calling that you will work in our lives, that you will work out your divine will in our lives. But Father, we have to be willing to give ourselves to you. So, Father, as your people, as your church, Peter is talking to us. Just as he was talking to that church that day, he's talking to us today. That there are people in this building that need a restored hope. They need a restored faith. They need a restored joy. They may need to restore their own salvation. They've backslidden, they've walked away. But, Father, whatever it is, you are the healer. You are the redeemer. You're the provider. You're the one who strengthens. You're the one who builds up. You're the one who saves. So, Father, we just commit to you as your church right now. We lay ourselves before you. You will forgive us and build us up at the same time. Amen. Amen. The Lord has spoken to you. You come at this time of invitation.